Just had a chance to kind of read through most of it. I didn't get to everybody's chat, but there was some pretty deep sharing there. So thank you for that. So we're going to talk about it more in just a minute, but I want us to actually do something right now. So here's what we're going to do in just a minute, and I'm going to time you for this. I'm going to have us stand up. You're going to stand up and you're going to jog in place as fast as you can for 90 seconds. And when you're halfway through, I'm going to give you another instruction. So go ahead and stand up and get ready. And ready, set, and go. Jog as fast as you can for 90 seconds. Go, go, go. Fast, fast, fast. And I want you to be where you can hear me. So make sure you're somewhere where you can hear me. Faster, faster, faster. Now, as you do this, you're going to point to yourself and you're going to say, I'm the best, I'm the best. And you always say it really loud, I'm the best, I'm the best. And touch your chest, I'm the best, I'm the best. Really loud, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best. You got about 30 more seconds. And now you're going to say, I'm the best, and you're going to point to something across the room and go, and you're an idiot. You're an idiot. I'm the best and you're all idiots. I'm the best and you're all idiots. Say it loud. Say it louder and jog faster. You got 10 more seconds. I'm the best and you're all idiots. And stop. Okay. Now stand away from the camera. So you can, but where you can see me, even though I can't see you, so that we can't see. So you're in privacy. So I want you to be in privacy, but so you can see me, but I can't see you. Now I want you to bend your knees and close your eyes. And underneath, I want you to think about a time or a situation or a person that really pissed you off, that you were really angry about, that you were something, situation or person where you were really angry, and I want you to bend your knees and breathe deeply and close your eyes. And I want you to ask yourself, what's under the anger? Open your legs a little wider, bend your knees a little bit more deeply, breathe a little bit more deeply, and ask yourself, what's beneath the anger? What's beneath this anger? Breathe deeply. What's underneath this anger? And bend your knees and feel the ground, the floor with your feet, and feel that the earth has got you as you ask yourself, what's beneath this anger? What's beneath this anger? And whatever it is, if it's hurt, if it's shame, if it's fear, whatever it is, hold your back up strong and feel the feelings and feel that it's safe to feel this feeling. It's okay to feel hurt or whatever it is. It's okay to feel scared. It's okay to feel afraid. Whatever you're feeling, just tell yourself it's okay to feel this feeling. And now I want you to open your arms wide with your palms up and feel that there is a force or an energy that's pouring into your palms and you are not alone. Feel the energy pouring into your palms and just notice you are safe and there is a beautiful spiritual power with you, holding you, holding your back up and pouring into your palms. I am safe and I am not alone. And just affirm, I am safe and I am not alone. I am safe and I am not alone. I am safe and I am not alone. I'm safe to feel this feeling and I am not alone. And then go ahead and relax your arms. Keep your eyes closed. Bend your knees. Feel the earth underneath you. I am safe and I am not alone. And then go ahead and have a seat. So let's do a little sharing about that. Actually, why don't we do this? Why don't we just go into, why don't we just go into three groups? Lynn, can you just divide us with Kimberly and myself and Jeanette into three groups? And let's do a little bit of sharing about that exercise. And then, let's just go ahead and do that. And we'll just do that for about, we'll just take about 5 minutes to do that in breakout group, okay? So, Valerie, since you may not have done this before.
I just need a couple of minutes to make this happen.
And if we're not in the exact even number, that's okay. What'll happen is you'll get an invitation. It will pop up on your screen to join a meeting and just click on that. And then, Lynn, at 5 minutes, you can just give us a warning to come back together as a group. And also, while Lynn is configuring that, I want you to think about...
Laura, I can barely hear you.
I hear you okay.
Is that better, Jeanette? No? Is this any better? Can you hear me any better this way? No?
It is on the soft side.
Oh, let me put my volume up. Maybe that's all it was. Is that any better? No? Anybody else having trouble hearing me?
I can hear you fine.
I can hear you fine.
Okay. Jeanette, can you put your volume up more maybe? Maybe that will do it.
I have my volume all the way up and I'm still, it's very soft.
I don't know. I'm not sure what that reason is. Since many of you are hearing me okay, it sounds like. Well, let's go ahead into the breakout group and I'm not sure what else to do. And I don't...
It fades in and fades out. Maybe if you're just closer to the speaker.
Is this better? And for me, it's just fine.
Okay. All right. I'll hold the mic closer to me. That might help. Okay, good. All right. So whenever you're ready, Lynn.
I'm ready. Okay. Here we go. We're all being beamed.
Great.
Laura, you're on mute. Still muted.
There we go. Okay. Can you hear me okay now, Jeanette? Okay, good. Any big ahas that anybody wants to share with the big group? There was something, you know, really interesting about the dropping down, you know, dropping down into that more vulnerable level of emotion that a lot of our group members shared about, right? That challenger defender is, what are we really defending against, is that more vulnerable level of emotion that we've disconnected from ourselves, that we don't even know is there sometimes. And that once we allow ourselves to begin to feel that more vulnerable level, then the energy can soften, the heart can start to open. And, you know, the other thing too is, the more we understand the actual wounding of this and the deep fear that the challenger defender is covering up, oftentimes with aggressive behaviors, the more compassion and less fear we will have in dealing with somebody who has this personality pattern. Not to make ourselves any better than them or any worse than them, but just to notice that, oh, this is just charge, right? You've heard me say this many times. I'll say it again. Emotion is simply energy and movement. And discharge, emotional discharge, whether it's anger or whether it's laughter or whatever it is just energy. So the more we know how to identify this from a neutral stance, from an objectified place, the easier it becomes to respond in a way that is not personal to me. When that aggressive type comes at you with something, and you feel so affronted and hurt and everything else, it's not about you. It's about them. So what else? You know, I also had a chance to read through a lot of the chat comments. And so there's some interesting comments about how you express your anger. So any other questions or comments about, or shares about how you're doing with expressing your anger? Any ahas about that for yourself, or concerns, something that you want to bring up, you know? Yeah, Pooja.
I have a question. Is there like a right way to express anger? Because all of us are going to be angry at some point in time. So how do you express it? Like, is how each of us, you know how everyone shared how they get upset. Is that the correct way, or is there even a correct way?
I prefer the word appropriate. Like, there's appropriate expressions of anger. There's not really a correct way, but there's appropriate ways where it doesn't hurt other people so much. Right. So what we want to do with our anger is we want to find healthy ways to discharge it that aren't so hurtful to others. So anger is a pretty tough emotion to take in a neutral way, right? When somebody's, who wants to be around someone who's like, you know, screaming and yelling and cursing, right? Not, most of us don't want to be anywhere near that. And so the appropriate way is to, first of all, notice that it's, I really want to discharge right now. My system is, you know, when you feel that pent up feeling and you just like, you know, and you want to do road rage. So through movement, through sounding, through letting the shadow or the inner critic speak in a way to a safe, appropriate person, whether that's a therapist or a healer or the wall outside. So we discharge first so that we can come into a more neutral place in ourselves. Now, if you go and do a big workout at the gym and you're still, and you know, and you feel better, but you still come home and you yell at your kids, you know, that's, we're not reaching into some aspect that's still there where, so first it's discharging that pent up energy as best we can in an appropriate way away from the people most directly involved. And then to try to let ourselves open our heart as well as hold our power and then convey whatever it is that we are trying to convey. Now, having said that, there are times when you have to act mad, but not be mad. I'm going to say that again, especially with kids. There are times when you have to act mad, but you don't want to be mad inside. So there are times with, you know, maybe it's even with employees or, you know, or kids or whoever, that you have to do that, that that's what's required to mobilize something that is really important into action. Is that answering?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, Lynn.
So one thing that's really helped me when these feelings come up is something you've shared many times. It's just emotions are just energy and movement. And so, you know, when you've asked us, where's your breath? Where are you feeling these things? It just really helps me to notice that. Where is it in my body? And where, you know, what's an appropriate way to move it so that it's more useful to me and maybe somebody else. So I'm forever thankful to you for that.
Great. Yes, very good.
One of the things that comes up for me, when I'm angry, I tend to want to blame and criticize the other person. So like, you're an idiot, you're disrespectful, you're insensitive, that type of thing. And what I've learned is that if I can keep my expression of my anger on my side of the fence, like first feel it in me, and then if I can calm down enough, maybe I might need to do it a few minutes later or a day later, but then talk to them with I statements, you know, of how their behavior impacted me, but not that they're an idiot for doing it. If that makes any sense. I don't know.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I like using I language a lot for that. And sharing how you have been impacted. Mm-hmm. Yes, very good. Yeah. It's really helpful to look at our pattern. Like, when I feel angry, what do I do with it? Do I withdraw? Do I blurt it out? Do I get critical? Do I get passive aggressive? You know, and then there's, you know, some of this is our nature, and we don't have to change our nature, but we do want to be able to identify our nature. So that when it's not helpful to us or someone else, that we can communicate about that. How is it impacting other people? How is your anger impacting others in your life when you express your anger to them?
I know that when I've told somebody that I was mad at them for, like, if I waited, they had no idea that I was mad. And so I've learned that it's better just to go ahead and get it over with by saying, when you said that to me, that really hurt my feelings, or I don't understand why you're saying that to me, because then it starts a more healthy conversation. And if that person can't handle it, and so what I'm seeing better now is it's their wound, not mind, if they can't talk about it. But what's important, though, is to practice, you know, language that you aren't insulting people. Like the example of the aggressive person the other day, they had overcharged me in something. And so I was just trying to discuss it with them, and it was, they were insulting, you know, they kept trying to insult me. And I just said, that's when I said, I'm just trying to have a friendly conversation with you. Yes, it's all clear to me, but it's still not fair what you have charged. Mm-hmm. And so, so I felt better that at least I didn't win the argument because I still got to pay him what they wanted me to, but I felt better that I stood up for myself. And I
good.
Find that as time goes on, I feel a lot healthier for going ahead and being responsible for my feelings and communicating those. Mm-hmm. And do I always do it well? No, but you know, it's all a process.
Yeah. And so beautiful. I gotta
fight it out and finish it and get it over with without really fighting.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's a tricky thing, right? Am I standing up for myself or am I being defensive, right? And that's a question that we have to ask ourselves at every step. And that sounded like a really important choice to make at that moment for you, Martha, that I need to speak up. And for some of us, our pattern is that that is the practice, to speak up. For others, it might be to practice not having the last word. You know, so for this pattern, particularly if you have this strong pattern, that's going to be your practice. Practice, and I've told that to a couple of my clients, practice not having the last word in an argument. You know, and especially those, you know, and that's not by not having the last word is not by going into the silent treatment and not, you know, like doing a passive aggressive thing. It's by truly letting it go in your own heart and mind. So what if they win the brownie point? That's our pride and our ego, right? But at the same time, you can't surrender an ego until you have an ego, right? Like with what Martha was saying, like I needed to say, hey, I needed to speak up for myself here. That's not fair or not okay. So in each situation, we have to use our own judgment. But for yourself, for those who have this pattern in particular, practicing not having the last word is a big deal, a big deal. I mean, I have a client right now. It's so very sad. I mean, she has a real anger problem and she takes it out on her kids a lot. And, she fights with her partner a lot. And, you know, I have talked to her repeatedly. We have looked at the impact it has on those children for her to do that. And so there was another situation that she told me about recently that happened in front of the kids where she really provoked this man and the man pushed her down and she was screaming in his face. I mean, she was really provoking. She's screaming in his face and so he pushed her down. And we talked about the moment that she made a decision that we were able to hone in on a moment in time where she actually made the decision where she could have backed down or continued to provoke. And she said, and I made the decision to continue to provoke him. Why? Well, because I didn't want to lose. That's classic of this pattern, right? What do you really lose? Right? It's your pride. It's your ego. And if we want to grow spiritually, if we want to grow emotionally, if we want to mature, then we let go of that ego. We give over that ego. So at what great cost, right? That her children witness this for her ego's sake. We all do this, right, to greater or lesser degrees. So really when you ask yourself what makes you want to have the last word or stay in an argument, it's ego. So what else is showing up here?
I have a question.
Yeah.
I identify the compensated merger in myself, and I'm wondering when I'm just getting so many memories of past relationships where I was oscillating between merger and aggressive. And that's just, it seems like there's so much dissonance between those, like wanting to be being angry because you're vulnerable, but then that collapse, I ain't being really needy. And I'm just like, I'm trying to work it out in my head how to express vulnerability without it becoming too much.
Yeah, I would err to the side of too much for a while and see how it goes. Okay. That would be my suggestion to you. This is, you know, it's not going to be a perfect balance in the beginning. So it's okay to let the pendulum swing. All of you, you know, you're trying out new things. It's going to be sloppy. It's going to be messy. It's going to be awkward. People are going to react weirdly. They're going to say, "What are you doing?" You know, like, and you're going to say, "Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing." For it's okay. Don't know what you're doing for a while. It's all right. Try out some new behaviors. Yeah. Good. So why don't we do our closing remarks now? We've got about 10 more minutes. And so, Roma, do you want to start us off on just a closing remarks for today?
So that I'm left like really thoughtful about kind of, I guess, how I impact people. I don't usually blow up in anger, but I'm more like withdraw and passive aggressive. But I'm just wondering whether I'm really getting that a direct approach, like lots of the others have described how they do it, is probably a more healthy way to express anger. It will take me a lot of courage to go out and say it without feeling like kind of running away. So I guess that's something I can practice.
Good. Yeah, if it's done with heart, right? Remember, it's power with heart. Not power with intellect, power with heart, right? With real sincere caring. And I love that you're getting interested in how your passive aggressiveness might be impactful to other people too, because many of us think, oh, well, I didn't say anything, so no, there's no problem, right? But our behaviors do impact people. And it takes a lot of guts to even to start to look at that. So thank you for bringing that up.
Laura, there's a really good discussion on the chat about I feel statements. Can mm-hmm. you take a look and maybe just quickly speak to that? Because I think it's good to bring up.
Do you want to just go ahead and name the ones that you're talking about, Jan, while you've got it there in your mind?
Yeah, there's a comment, and I agree. I feel like when we use I feel, people on the hearing end feel the need to do something, like there's an obligation we're placing on them. And a couple people said they frustrate people all the time with I feel statements. Mm-hmm. And another person said, I feel the I feel statements are sometimes perceived as fake or maybe ingenuine. Those are the people I want to call idiots because they're provoking me when I try to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and our valid comments about you know, people being told that they are frustrating by using I feel statements. So maybe you could speak to that.
I think it depends on whether or not we are conveying it with an open heart, and there's a lot to learn about how we communicate what we are feeling to someone else. Timing is important, I think. Timing. So deep communications, important communications, much of the time are done as what I call flybys. Like, oh, you pass somebody in the kitchen, you go, by the way, I really feel blah, blah, blah that you did da, 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 you know. Flybys are not good communication, you know. So appointments, you know, hey, let's talk about such and such. When would be a good time? And really caring. And also, are we communicating our feeling statements without attachment to an outcome? That's another thing, right? Am I telling you what I feel or what I want
because I want you to apologize to me, or because I want you to change something, or because I want you to do something? Or am I communicating what I'm feeling with you just because I'm asking if you'll just hear me? And if I get to be heard, then oftentimes I feel better. Listening to someone is a gift. So there's lots of layers to this. So, but thank you for bringing that up. I hope that addressed some of the points that were shared there. Okay. Valerie, closing remarks.
I would like to add to what you were saying is that I think the audience that you're talking to matters a lot too. Some people just aren't able to receive it, or they're so much into their own wound that they're not really going to hear what you're saying. And they may actually even see that as an attack. But as far as the class, being the second time through, I'm picking up things I missed the first time for sure. A lot of things I'm still sinking in and processing, and it's definitely layers of the onion kind of thing.
Yeah, good. Just to add one more thing to what you just shared, Valerie, I think with regards to, you know, what will someone else hear, sometimes we make some presumptions, especially when it comes to a significant other. If say we, you know, oh, I can't tell you how many times I've heard, for example, in couples counseling when someone has said, oh, well, I'm not going to tell them such and such because I know how they'll react. And so often we think we do, but we put that person in a box. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong, because I think you brought up a really important point. I'm not disagreeing with anything that you just said. I kind of just want to add to that, because I want to challenge all of us to, as you change and as you implement this work more and more, I would go back to some people that you might think might not hear you in certain ways. So we think, you know, oh, I'm the only one growing, but you know, even if other people don't take this course or some other self-help growth course, they grow in their own time and in their own way. You know, like we don't have the snob hold on personal growth from this. So I just wanted to add that to what Valerie said as well. So thanks though, Valerie, for that.
I wanted to say that I'm reminded of my own patterns. I'm more of a leaving or emerging, compensated merging pattern. And so I don't lots of times feel a lot of my own will and strength. And I think because I grew up with a aggressive father, I learned that the way that I try to feel my will and strength is by this overlay of this almost like anger that I'm trying to manifest so that I feel stronger. Mm. And because it was modeled for me. So I'm just kind of noticing that I think my pattern in relation to power and will and then anger seems all related.
Wow. Yeah. That's a good point too. Right. It's a really interesting relationship, our will energy and our power energy. So great. Thank you, Carol, for that. All right, let's go on over to you, Angelica, closing remarks.
Oh, this is just another deep one. I mean, I just feel like skimming the top of the ocean here, and I'm excited to delve deeper into it and digest it for the next couple of weeks.
Great. Okay, thank you. Jan, anything else you wanted to add in closing?
No, I'm just grateful for everything I continue to learn.
Okay, thank you. Kimberly.
I was just this morning working with a client who has a lot of this pattern in her. And at the very end, she just said, you know, I'm really scared that if I let myself be vulnerable, I'm not going to be good at my job anymore. Because this pattern made her so good in her job. And I just wanted to remind her, as I did remind her this morning, that we don't lose our gifts when we heal the wound. And that was such a big deal for her to hear this morning. So I just wanted to say that we're not going to lose these gifts as we heal the wound.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for that reminder for everybody. Good. Jeanette.
It's hard to lose the gifts, and it's hard to go backwards when you start understanding each of these patterns, whether you're a primary or whatever. So just keep going, because it's really, it's changed my life.
Great. So. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Pooja?
Okay. I think for me, my takeaway from this class is to focus on this pattern's gifts when I do see like the aggressive side come out. And I think that'll help me just kind of stay grounded on my end when I'm on the receiving end of their wackiness sometimes. Instead of it triggering anger, I can just be like, all right, well, there's a whole nother side to the same person and they're really good qualities. So let's focus on the good qualities and not just get stirred up by energy and movement, right? Is that what you said? That
yeah.
It was energy and movement. So let's just, I don't want to get triggered. I don't want to trigger my own energy, but I know that I have what it takes to move it in the way that keeps me grounded instead of reactive.
Great. Very good. Thank you, Pooja.
You're welcome.
Okay, Gail.
I got the, you know, not thinking just with your intellect, but actually feeling it. So when we did that exercise, when I actually realized that there actually is an emotion under the anger I was feeling towards the other person, saying they were wrong, and then I realized, oh my gosh, there really is, you know, it's one thing to hear it, and then another thing to experience it. So that was definitely like, oh yeah, there really is. So experiencing it definitely is a different thing than just hearing it and reading it intellectually.
Beautiful. I'm glad you got to have that experience. It's great. Yeah, I didn't make it up. Great. Thanks, Gail. Chris, closing remarks.
Yeah, you know, I see myself, you know, all the different patterns of myself, but this one I see how it negatively impacts some relationships. So that's really valuable to see that. I think it, mine comes across as impatience a lot. And so, you know, just learning how to kind of deal with that and trying to feel safer being in my heart where I think it wasn't safer, you know, those earlier years. So just really learning a lot about this pattern and kind of how to deal with it.
Great. Thank you, Chris. Good, good. Martha.
Yes, and just listening today and doing the reading, you know, I think I really like the gifts in this one, that they can be tamed like a lion has to be tamed, and then having the enduring pattern kind of is a nice mixture for this. And I've been in sales in the last 25 years. And so there's a lot of coaching, a lot of behavior studies when you're in sales. And I had a good close associate tell me one time, and hopefully this will help all of us with the aggressive pattern. It's like, quit going after people with spears, go after them with a cookie tray. And so that's kind of like the force that I have to remember, even, you know, if I get excited or have a passion about something, not necessarily anger, but, you know, that's a high energy passion that could be associated with aggression. It's like, it's, you can't make people do stuff, but you can offer it to them. And so that has helped me in this whole lesson to listen today to what everybody said.
Great. Thank you. Beautiful. I like that cookie tray. Yeah.
Yeah. Jenny. It's a lot more receptive.
Yeah.
And I've had, you know, one of the things in sales you learn about, well, when you say the I feel I found thing, but, you know, when you do it with your family, they feel like you're manipulating them. You know, it seems like people in the outer world, like, really embrace how you feel and how you felt and what you found, but you do it with your family, and like, they're like laughing at me, like, you know, Mom, what are you trying to do to us? Make fun of me. So yes, I get that part. There's got to be another way to communicate with your family sometimes.
Yeah, the family is definitely the most challenging relationships for probably all of us, right? Yeah, good, good. All right. Keep practicing. Jenny.
Yeah. So this is such a dance and art when it comes to how to manage the emotions and not to let it impact the relationship. And I feel like I needed today's session, especially when we were talking about how to manage the anger issues. I feel like I needed this for a long time, especially with the family members. Yeah, so there's such a strategy. And it's kind of like I need to figure out a strategy to manage my own emotions and not to just blurt them out when I get triggered. So that's going to be a lot of practice for me. The timings are absolutely, that all makes sense to me, right? To find the right timing to hold it, not to blurt it out and take it out in the moment. And then to just feel that feeling, just feel the anger for a little while and then find the right timing to talk about. Yeah.
When we're that charged, it's very hard to contain, right? What we want to release immediately. So you may need to find a way to discharge in a healthy way in the interim, if possible, through sounding, through movement, through something, right? To release some of that upward build charge. Then that can help us then contain and find the right timing that we need to find. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Thank you. Okay, Janine.
Lots of thoughts. Agreeing with a lot of this. I just found myself with that exercise that a vision from a very young child that I just really needed protection. And so I think, you know, healing the inner child and finding ways to protect myself in a healthy way and express it. My anger is often fear and hurt and all those things that I lacked, yeah. And to express in a more loving manner, and just a lot more work. And I love the rereading here about, am I standing up for myself or being defensive? So I think I go back between both of them. I think it was one end trying to stand up for myself, protecting myself, and then now I'm actually defensive because I could never protect myself before.
Yeah. Something that's great. Different. That's going to be a moment-to-moment judgment call. So good. Good, good, good. Thank you. Okay, Lori, closing remarks.
I just appreciate better understanding of how to communicate successfully with this pattern, and I'm going to have lots of practice.
Good. Thank you.
Me.
Yeah. Okay. Valerie.
So confusing because there are two Valeries here. So keep.
Oh, right.
Right. Calling me or the other one. Anyhow. I'm still sort of in shock that I have this pattern in me. But I've really been humbled and realized that I don't really express that at work. I'm express that anger and aggressiveness at home. So even just yesterday, my husband said something to me about yelling at him and how that's impacting the kids, because we're trying to obviously raise them. You know, it's great. Future adults, they're only 5 and 7 years old. And that I need to set an example for them. So I feel like I have a lot of work to do now, at home around this. And at the same time, I'm going to have more compassion and love for the managers I was talking about earlier with you that are this display this pattern at work. Yeah. So I'm taking a lot away from it.
Yeah, good. Good, good, good. I'm glad. Thank you for that. Okay, Amy.
So this pattern has always given me trouble because both of my parents had the exact same pattern. Like this was a predominant one for both of them. So I've been afraid my whole entire life of other people's anger. And I had an interesting thing happen yesterday. My daughter had to get some blood work done, and we just signed in, but somebody else was sitting like in the same room, but the room was to get to call to this hospital as well. So I never thought that this person was standing in line or something, but he didn't sign in. And he didn't say anything. So when the phlebotomist came out and called my daughter's name, the guy stood up and he said, "It's my turn. I'm first." And she said, "Did you sign in?" He said, "No." And she's like, "Well, you know the rules," because he's a regular. And he got so mad, he threw his paper down from and threw a huge fit. Then he left. But his anger, I did not internalize it for the first time in my whole entire life, because we went first. And because that was the rules, and I didn't feel bad. I actually felt okay with myself for the first time that somebody was mad at me, whether it be just or unjust. I didn't take it on. So that was my
beautiful. Great progress. Excellent. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. It's a practice to learn how to tolerate other people's anger. It's a practice to learn to tolerate our own, how to discharge it appropriately, to, you know, and to just be in the aliveness of the charge. It's not all bad, right? It's an aliveness. It's a passion. It's a life force. So it can be good too. Thank you, everybody. Beautiful work today. So do your homework, do your journaling, your self-exploration work, and we'll see you.
Oh, Lynn,
Oh, I'm sorry, Lynn. I missed you.
Sorry.
Missed you.
I'm actually pretty grateful that I got to listen to everybody, and I learned a lot through the sharing here. I remember the first time out in California when we did this, I was like, I have nothing to do with this. And, you know, through the repetition of this course, I'm learning more the subtle ways that I've engendered it. And part of it's because it does kind of fit in with my merging enduring pattern, because it's part of how I want to take care of people. And so I just am continually fascinated by this particular survival pattern, and the more I can learn about it. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Did I get everybody else? Did I miss anybody else? Okay. All right, very good. So good, beautiful work, everybody. So we will see you next Saturday. Have a great rest of your weekend. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.